An academic based at Auckland University has recently returned from the United States, where he was collecting what's considered an Oscar of the space sector. Guglielmo Olietti won the Sir Arthur Clarke Award for his work in demonstrating technologies that could gather up space waste. This is debris flying through our orbit that can be the size of a fingernail or the size of a bus. It can smash into working satellites and also in that same orbit around Earth. So scientists are figuring out how to catch it. Mr. Olietti is the first director of Te Punaha Atia, the Auckland Space Institute, which opened last year. He recently went to the US to pick up his award, although the ceremony itself was cancelled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Guglielmo Olietti, or G, as I think he likes to be known, is our guest. Morning and welcome.
Hello. Good morning.
So you went all the way to the States, but as with everything else, the world changed en route, G, and you came pretty well straight back again, yes. Did you?
Yes, was a bit disappointing, if you want, but that was the week where the attitude in the US really changed, and at the beginning of the week, everything was very reassuring. Don't worry, everything is going ahead as normal and so on. And then midweek, around Wednesday, suddenly everything changed. And so a few hours before that the ceremony was supposed to be held, we were notified that the ceremony actually had been cancelled. And so everybody scrambled to the airport to take, you know, flights and whatever to try to get back home. And so I made it home just before, you know, the new measures were introduced, no quarantine and so on. However, to be safe, I stayed in isolation because coming back from the US was not a good idea to mix with people.
Well, congratulations on the award. Exceptional times they are, and difficult to celebrate in some ways a lot of things at the moment. But just explain more about what you received it for. What is the specific work you're doing?
Yes, what we had tried to do is to demonstrate in space some technologies that can be used in order to recapture some of these debris that are up there. Because as you mentioned before, in practice in the past 60 years, a lot of satellites have been put in orbit to do, you know, very useful stuff, but then some of them, you know, stopped working, some simply, you know, disintegrated with time. So now there is all this debris, you know, flying around, and so it poses a threat for the new satellites. And so the technologies that we demonstrated were, if you want, you know, simple technologies like, you know, a net or a harpoon, but very cost-effective in order to capture the largest pieces of debris.
How does it work?
Well, essentially, the idea is that you send a spacecraft to chase one of these larger pieces of debris, and when they are close, let's say around, you know, 10 meters, you could, for example, launch this net, and the net captures, you know, this large debris, envelops completely the debris, and then you pull it down towards Earth so it turns into the atmosphere. So this is how the net would work, and the harpoon would work in a similar way. You approach your large debris, and then you fire the harpoon in order to capture it, and then once it's been captured, you tow it down toward Earth so it burns into the atmosphere.
It sounds so simple, and I bet it's not. And is actually getting up close and personal with the debris and keeping up with it a challenge?
Yes, in fact, those are the challenges that, you know, trying to explain things here, everything seems, you know, relatively simple, but that is why we have done these in-orbit demonstrations, because when you try this technology on Earth, there are a lot of things that you can't really reproduce exactly as they are in space. So it's important to do, you know, a scaled version of any activity in space first as a demonstration, and then if that works, you can deploy the technology, let's say, for real once you have done this demonstration first. And so what we did was the demonstration of the technologies to show that they were working.
And what's involved? What's the physics and mathematics involved in even modeling it?
Well, it's pretty, as you can imagine, it's difficult because although there are things like, you know, the absence of gravity that are well known, so you can, you know, make a mathematical model that simulates, you know, how the net captured the debris and so on, you know, again, there are nice, you know, mathematical formulas and mathematical models that you can do, but there is nothing like actually trying it for real, because every time there are sort of, you know, unexpected things that can happen. And so that's the importance. And by the way, together with the two experiments that I mentioned, you know, the net and the harpoon, we have also tested a special type of camera that as you approach the debris, you can just observe this debris, and from the pictures, you can figure out, you know, the distance, if the debris is spinning, how fast it is spinning, all this information that are necessary before you can actually capture the debris. Because these kind of operations should be done sort of automatically. It's not that there is a person like in a video game that is piloting, you know, the spacecraft, getting close and then launching the net. This kind of operation should be done sort of automatically. So you need some piece of, you know, clever software that understands what the debris is doing, when is the nice, you know, the best moment to launch the net and so on. And so part of the experiment was also the verification of these, it's called, you know, visual-based navigation. So when you arrive close to the debris, just observing with this special camera to try to get all this information in order then to be able to do the capture operation safely.
It would be incredibly sophisticated software because you have to make sure that you're not hoovering up satellites or rockets or the International Space Station, I imagine. It would be a little bit facetious.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it would be a bit embarrassing. Actually, you know, a working satellite, but you know there is a catalog of these objects, you know, the ones that are no longer working and so on. So we know what they are. So we should be, you know, getting closer to one of the right one, let's say one of the dead one that has to be removed rather than a working one. But yeah, you can imagine that, you know, all the let's say the hardware is quite sophisticated. For example, the camera that I was mentioning before works. That in a way that you illuminate the target with a laser so you can actually see the target also when it is in darkness, because these kind of operations could happen when the satellite is in eclipse, so there is no light, and you still have to be able to see the satellite in order or this debris in order to capture it. So it is quite sophisticated technology, the one that was tested.
Gee, what is the speed and the other dynamics that this space junk is traveling around at?
Yeah, you are talking about, you know, 7 kilometers per second to give an idea. So really, really fast. And it's because the speed that they are so dangerous, because at that speed, even a small object, again, like a flake of paint, can really make a hole, let's say, in a new satellite. So if these debris are actually larger, the potential, their destructive potential is even higher. And so if you have two large debris, for example, smashing into each other, they can explode and they can produce a cloud of further debris that then can impact other satellites. So what we want to try to prevent is this, you could say, like a snowball effect, like a chain reaction, where you have the collision of two large debris that explode and then they produce a lot of smaller debris that go and hit other debris and so on. And so you have like this chain reaction, and you could pollute a whole orbit and making it unusable. So the idea is to remove some of these larger debris to prevent these collisions from happening.
What's happening to the increasing volume of space junk as time goes by?
So far, has gone up all the time. But, you know, we have to think that we use space technologies, you know, every day. Okay, not now that there is this lockdown, but normally you would go around with your, you know, in your car, and you probably use a sat nav. In the morning, you might watch, you know, weather forecasting. You might watch, you know, satellite television. So, you know, space technologies now are so, you know, embedded in our everyday life, and clearly, all the time we have, you know, new applications that require, you know, new satellites. So the populations of satellites has gone up all the time in the last, you know, 60 years. But what is important now is to make sure that whenever you put in orbit, you know, a new satellite, then you have a plan to remove the satellite once, you know, its useful life has been served. So now every new satellite that is put in orbit, there are some guidelines that they ask the operator to remove the satellite within 25 years in a way to make sure that this population doesn't keep, you know, growing and growing. So we have to actually try to stabilize the population.
A lot of this work, G, was done, as I understand, in a previous posting at Surrey University, the Surrey Space Centre at Surrey University. And can I just clarify, is it still in theoretical mode, Or has this project removed debris? 100 kilograms, it's going to be the satellite. Has it actually been launched and trialed?
Yeah.
All the
tests have been actually, have been successfully done in space. So the project, let's say this demonstration project, now has been just concluded successfully. What people are doing now with our industrial partners and so on is actually try to deploy these technologies to go and capture real pieces of debris. Because the demonstration that we have done, you know, a few months ago in space, we released our own little piece of debris and then we recaptured it. Okay, so it was just a demonstration that the technology was working, and this has been done in space. Good. So the next step is, okay, now let's do it for real. So the technology has to be scaled up. And as you can imagine, also the cost of the mission is going up. So now the challenge is to convince the large space agencies, for example, you know, NASA, European Space Agency, Chinese Space Agency, and so on, to actually fund some of these missions in order to go and clean up some of these debris. Because otherwise there is, if you want, it's a bit the same problems that we have with the ocean. You know, there is a lot of pollution, there is a lot of plastic. It's a good idea to go and clean it up, but who is going to pay for that? So now we are at the stage that we have demonstrated that there are technologies that can be used, but now we need someone to actually pay to go there and actually do some of these cleanup operations.
Gee, what else is happening in the new post at Auckland and with the Space Centre there, the Auckland University Space Institute? What else is it doing, and how does it fit into the overall ecosystem that's developing around New Zealand in space?
Yeah, I think now there is a great opportunity in this, you know, in this sector, because it's a sector in big growth. And as you are probably aware, for example, in New Zealand there is a company, you know, Rocket Lab, that has the capability to put in orbit, you know, satellites. There are a lot of little companies that are growing up and expanding in this sector. So what we want to do in Auckland is to create, let's say, a center to help growing the national, let's say, space sector. So to help little companies, for example, using our facilities to do research and development, to help them to improve their products or maybe create new products. So this is what we do, you know, on one side. On the other one, there is also an educational function, you could say, because as this sector is expanding and is creating, you know, new job opportunities and so on, we have to make sure that we have a workforce ready to then, you know, take up jobs in this sector. And so we are starting new courses to train, you know, new students so that they can, you know, support the growth of this sector.
What are the possibilities? We're familiar perhaps with Rocket Lab. We're familiar with the Space Centre down in Central Otago, a little bit of the work that it's doing. But as an industry, and we have to park at the moment, I suppose, what's happening short to medium term, don't we, and look over the horizon. But as an industry, what's possible, and why is New Zealand so well placed, possibly even geographically placed, to develop it?
Yeah, exactly. Very good point, because New Zealand geographically is in a very good position, because we are, you know, on the other side of the world compared to Europe, for example, and also far, you know, from the US. So there is an issue, for example, with the monitoring of the space traffic. You know, it's a problem similar to the one of the space debris. Apart from the debris, there are also a lot of satellites there. So now there is an issue to try to regulate and actually monitor all these satellites to make sure that each satellite does exactly what, you know, the satellite is supposed to do. And as you can imagine, we have to observe, you know, these satellites from various points on Earth. And New Zealand is perfectly positioned to monitor, you know, a part of the sky that is not visible, let's say, like from Europe. And so we can then, you know, cooperate with various other entities, again, in Europe, in the US, to provide, you know, services in order to then give information to, you know, the various operators or bodies that produce regulations in order to try to, let's say, maintain an environment that is sustainable and where everybody can operate safely. So that is, you know, an important issue. But there are a lot of new technologies that are coming up. For example, laser communications to try to, let's say, improve on the normal technologies that are used, for example, at the moment for telecommunications. This is, a step forward to enable, larger transmission of data. There are so many things, on the horizon. And again, New Zealand is really well positioned to take advantage of some of these things.
And we're starting to see it grow as a sector. It generated some $1.7 billion in the past financial year, the space sector. Just explain again how Auckland University Space Institute supports or works with the mission of New Zealand's space agency. Just explain a little bit more about all the parts of the system.
Well, we are engaging all the time with the space agency to make sure that whatever, the national policy is, we can support to make things happen on one side, and on the other one, also providing, you could say, expert advice to the New Zealand Space Agency on certain topics. So there is, if you want, like a dialogue with also the other players in the in the sector, for example, in other universities here in New Zealand. So what we are all trying to give is an environment where little companies can grow, if you want. That's the main issue, the main thing that we are trying to put together.
Gee, thank you for being with us. Congratulations again on your award. It's a massive award, the Sir Arthur Clarke Award, tainted a tad, I guess, by the situation that you couldn't go to the event and the wider situation, the wider reasons behind that. But a massive achievement, and thank you very much for being with us this morning.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you to you for inviting me on your program. Thank you.
Guglielmo Aletti won the Sir Arthur Clarke Award for his work in demonstrating technologies that could gather up space waste. He's the first director of Te Punahi Atia, the Auckland Space Institute, which opened last year. The New Zealand Space Agency, I mentioned, I think is a Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, MBIE, initiative that dates back to about 2016, but plenty happening in that space, if you'll forgive me the pun.